The Shilling Show continues here after an exclusive interview with Lawrence Gaughan, who was working the polls here in the city for D.D. Smith and was rousted out by someone who trumped up some charges against him and had him removed, essentially. That was a news-making interview only here on The Shilling Show. We'll have it up on podcast if you're just joining us after the first hour. Right now, our regularly scheduled guest, who's been kind enough to stand by a little bit while we got through that, is David Murata, the president of Murata Wealth Management, who is here with us each and every month with great, astute financial advice. And you know what? Who doesn't want to hang on to more of their own money? Right, David?
It's amazing how much, no matter what political party you're from, you'd like to save a little bit of money on your taxes. And generosity is much better with other people's money.
Yes, it certainly is. Let's talk about the capital gains tax. You know, there are some people to whom this may be a very foreign concept. What's that? I've never heard of it, or maybe I heard of it and I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, the capital gains tax is basically if you buy something at a certain price and then you sell it for a higher price, then you owe Uncle Sam money. That's called a capital gain. And capital gains taxes are often reported as income, as though they're income. They're not quite income.
Mm-hmm.
And just owning things that go up in value is not quite the same as working. And a lot of economists will say that the correct value for the capital gains tax is zero, because what capital gains does is it nails down whatever you've invested in. You can't sell it without paying the tax. And so sometimes it's better not to sell it.
You mean it ties money up?
It ties money up. So it makes the credit markets very illiquid, meaning that they can't flow around to where they'll do the most good. And so there's a lot of actually economic harm that comes from having capital gains tax of anything other than zero. I remember there was a piece of property, and the woman who owned it was elderly, and she did not want to sell it because if she sold it, she owned a tremendous amount in capital gains. But she was elderly. If she just hung on to it for a little while longer, then when she passed away, her heirs could get it with a step up in cost basis, mm-hmm. and owe nothing in capital gains. And so, you know, if you have $1 million of property and you try to sell it, you'll immediately have to pay 23.8% capital gains tax. That's the top capital gains tax rate. And so that will be $238,000 that her heirs won't get. $57,000 for state taxes as well. And so it would be over $250,000 in difference. And so that $250,000 owed in capital gains tax nails that investment down so that you can't sell it and it's illiquid and you can't do something with it. So she couldn't sell it. It needed a lot of work. No one wanted to buy it because mm-hmm. they couldn't buy it. No one wanted to rent it because it needed a lot of work. And no one wanted to put the work in because they couldn't own it. And so it was kind of a catch-22. She finally passed away, and her heirs immediately sold it, and it got back in service, but after about 5 years of just languishing.
You know, this sounds very un-American to me, and I've heard people say, hey, we've already paid the tax on that money. You know, when we earn the money, we paid the tax on it. Investment, why? What is the stated purpose? I mean, to me, it sounds like an income redistribution scheme and spreading the wealth.
The stated purpose is because people say, "Well, you made that money; it went up. You need to count it like it's income." But you know, most of the time, it went up because of inflation, which the government is manipulating anyway. The government mm-hmm. floods the dollars into the money supply. You know, if you owned $1 million piece of property in 1970, it's worth $5.5 million today just by inflation. And why should we have to pay tax on inflation? Because the purchasing power hasn't gone up. $1 million in 1970 is equivalent of the purchasing power of $5.5 million today. Yet the capital gains tax has never been indexed for inflation. So,
well, this is what I was going to ask you about. Has there been proposals along the way to index for inflation? Because that would change a lot, wouldn't it?
It would. Indexing for inflation would solve a lot of the capital gains tax problem. It's been suggested by economists, but it'll never make it past the politicians because they need more money. So, and they always need more money. So it's an easy way for them to make inflation, the capital gains tax on inflation, every single year without doing anything. And so it's a very difficult argument to make. Additionally, if you want to know who the 1% is in America, the 1% is anyone who sold a house in California and had to pay capital gains tax on it, because that immediately sends you up into the top tax brackets for capital gains and makes your income tax look ridiculous, when all you did is you sold a house that had appreciated by inflation for the last 20 years in California.
It is 12:29 here on The Shilling Show. It's our Election Day special. We'll be taking your Election Day calls at the top of the next hour. Reports from the precincts, we'd love to hear from you. And plus, we're going to go back on The Shilling Show Time Machine and hear from Bob Fenwick a couple days ago and a few years ago and see if Bob's statements coincide. It's 12:29 here on The Shilling Show. We'll be back after the break with David Murata. Stay with us. The one and only AP award-winning Shilling Show continues here, our Election Day special. If you have comments or thoughts or observations on what's taking place today in the city of Charlottesville, we want to hear from you. Also, I want to tell you just before it slips my mind, because I don't want to miss this today, is that there is a hearing today for Mark Weiner, who has been imprisoned for the better part of 2 years, I think, coming up now, on charges that appear to be trumped up or falsified. There are a lot of questions with this case. And later on today at 3:30, I think Judge Higgins is hearing this, but there's been a challenge by the defense on the Commonwealth's attorney's presentation of the case and some of the evidence that wasn't brought into the original trial. This is a very critical issue, particularly because Denise Lunsford wants to be reelected. It'll be fascinating to see what happens this afternoon. I wish it was happening while we were on the air so I could report it to you. But I have been in contact with Mark Weiner's brother, Michael Weiner, and I anticipate that we will have a live interview with Michael Weiner tomorrow on what happens in court today with that case. David Murata is with us. We're talking about ways for you to keep more of your own money, and in this instance, it is capital gains tax. All right, so there's capital gains tax here, and it's multiple levels. You mentioned 23.8%, and gosh, that 3.8% is reminding me of some sort of tax that was passed a couple years ago in order to provide us with a better health care.
Yeah, that's the Obamacare tax, and we've changed the tax rates now so that there's a 0% capital gains tax rate, a 15%, an 18.8%, and a 23.8%, mm-hmm. Depending upon how much you've realized every year. And most investors, I think most average people, they put their investments in stuff. They're buy and hold, so they buy stuff. They hang on to it for a long period of time. And I think the biggest thing to say is if you're not paying attention to capital gains in your taxable account, if you have a taxable investment account and you're not paying attention to capital gains, you're losing out on an incredible opportunity to lower your taxes. Because realizing some capital gains each year and just the right amount and putting it in the right tax brackets is a tremendous way to save on your taxes. And now that our tax filing is over and you've had a chance to look at your taxes, you can look at your taxes and see what capital gains rate you're in. There are a number of Americans who are in the 0% capital gains tax bracket and can realize a little bit of capital gains every year at 0%. And if they're losing that opportunity, they'll find themselves at 65 needing to sell stuff in their retirement, and everything will be highly appreciated, and they'll be pushed into higher capital gains tax brackets at that moment. So even just selling some at the 0% is incredibly important. The other thing is that when you're buying and selling in your account, if you're buying and selling anything, there are different methods of matching which lot you're selling and how much capital gains you're paying. And that's just a feature that you put onto your Schwab or TD Ameritrade mm-hmm. or Fidelity account to say, when I go to sell something, here's the matching method I'd like to use.
Like first in, first out.
Yeah, first in, first out is FIFO. That's often the default. It's often mm-hmm. the worst because the first thing you bought was back in 1990. It's been appreciated the most. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay the most in capital gains. LIFO is last in, first out, and that's a little bit better because at least the last thing you bought might have the lowest gain. Unless you just bought it in the last dip, in which case it might not be. There's also HIFO, which is the highest is the first out. That's a very good method because at least you're paying the least in capital gains. Even better is a methodology called beneficial tax. And beneficial tax is exactly what it sounds like. It's trying to do short-term losses, then long-term losses, then long-term gains, then short-term gains, because those all are at different rates of taxation, and so it's good to do that. The default for mutual funds, unfortunately, is average cost accounting, and average cost accounting is terrible. It just blends them all together, and once you've done that, you can't get them unblended, so you can't go back into some of the other methods very easily without some talking to your custodian to put an average cost on everything, at least going forward, being a little bit more tax savvy. And then the last methodology is trade selection. We often use trade selection to try to distinguish between this is the trade lot we're trying to sell, and when you go to sell it, you have to do that. Because when we sell a trade lot, we use highest cost, but when we give a trade lot away to charity, we use the lowest cost. Because the lowest cost is the one that will have the highest capital gains, and when you give it to charity, you can actually avoid capital gains that way by gifting appreciated stock to charity.
We're talking with David Morata, and capital gains tax strategies is our topic for the day. In other words, how can you save more of your own money and not turn it over to the government? That's a good thing. Now remember, that's a good thing. It's your money, after all. You earned it. When we come back on the other side, we have some strategies that we're going to give you very specifically. Ways to avoid paying excess capital gains taxes. 977-1070 is the phone number. By the way, if you have comments or questions for David, we'd be delighted to take your call. Ellie stands by at 977-1070 here on our Election Day special. It's The Shilling Show. Well, we're not on Thunder Island, but we're here in Sugartown broadcasting live from the Democratic Socialist Republic, which is holding a primary today. It is our Election Day special. We'll have more Election Day coverage and calls at the top of the next hour. Ellie stands by, 977-1070 right now, continuing our conversation with David Morata on keeping more of your money, and particularly when it comes to capital gains taxes. All right, so let's go to some of the ways and techniques that people can use to keep more of their own money.
Yeah, we've talked about realizing some capital gains each year and making sure that the matching system for which trade lots you're selling is appropriate. Your primary residence, you can exclude up to $250,000 of capital gains, $500,000 if you're married, and especially if you're in the upper tax brackets or you have a very expensive house. Making sure it doesn't get over that $250,000 or $500,000 in gains, you almost want to move somewhere else, sell that one and move back again, or sell your house to your children and have them sell it back to you just to reset your cost basis. Because there's no reason why, as a society, we should be punishing people who are in their houses for more than 20 or 30 years.
Right.
When they could sell and move and they get that exclusion every single time they sell their house. So it's especially true in California or in the Washington, D.C. area, but there are some neighborhoods in Charlottesville that could easily have over $250,000 worth of gain in their houses if you're there a long time. If you own rental property and you sell it, you have to pay a high capital gains, but there's a 1031 exchange where you can sell it and roll your basis into another piece of property. That's another way that you can avoid capital gains.
We did that, as a matter of fact, when we moved from California to Virginia. We went through the 1031 process. And I will say that it has been very beneficial tax-wise for us, but you really need to have somebody who knows what they're doing because there are great complexities and very strict deadlines in exchanging property.
You do. There are people who that's all they do is 1031 exchanges. And you can imagine if we didn't have the capital gains tax, all those people would be doing more productive work than,
right.
than trying to help you cheat the government out of their capital gains tax. But yeah, with most property, you want to hold it until you die and then leave it to your heirs and then they could sell it. That's at the point at which it becomes more liquid. And a 1031 exchange allows you to do that. It allows you to move from one property to the other. But still keep capital gains tax low. Probably the best way to save on capital gains is a health savings account. If you put money into the health savings account, it is pre-tax. It grows without paying capital gains. And when you take it out, there's no tax. It's the only account of its kind where you get a tax deduction going in and you pay nothing on the way out. So it's very advantageous. And if you can fund your health savings account with the maximum every single year, then in retirement, you'll probably have $250,000 for long-term care. There's a lot of things that it can pay for in when you're old, in mm-hmm. including any kind of long-term care, even long-term care insurance. So a health savings account is a great way to do that. I mentioned gifting to charity earlier, which is another great way to do it. Buying and simply holding is a good way. If you buy good exchange-traded funds, usually you don't have to sell them too much in order to rebalance your portfolio. You'll still be faced with a capital gains at some point in the future, but at least you won't have to be buying and selling. And every year you can not have to, every year you can delay paying capital gains tax is a more compounded growth because you have more money because you didn't have to pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very advantageous. And it's amazing to me how I read a statistic of how much capital gains is actually, they end up collecting the tax on it. And it's less than you would think. It's 30 or 40% of capital gains is actually taxed.
How is that?
Because all these techniques.
Oh, okay, so people, it's not that they're missing it. It's right. That people are legitimately using these techniques.
Right, people are legitimately using the techniques. And because you can decide when you want to realize capital gains, if you just hang on to it and you die, you get a step up in cost basis. In fact, I was talking to one mother and daughter, and mom was considering giving daughter money for her retirement so that she could fund her retirement and things like that. And I said, actually, daughter should give mom money and let mom invest it in an account. And then when mom dies, daughter will get a step up in cost basis, and daughter can avoid all of the capital gains tax over her entire mother's lifetime.
Wow.
And they both looked at me like, that's kind of crazy. But it's true. I mean, it's so long as you have a parent you can trust to leave it to you, it's actually better to put all of the assets in your parents' name, let them get that growth throughout their entire lifetime, and then leave you an account with a step up in cost basis.
You know, this is so interesting to me because you're thinking creatively and you have to do that here. But I find it very sad that we have to think like this in what's supposed to be a free country, that, you know, someone would have a bunch of assets and you have to wait until you die to sell them, at which time they're no benefit to you whatsoever. You know, maybe you want to take a cruise, or maybe you want to buy a new car, or maybe you want to do something else, and you're scared to do it because of the tax consequences. We shouldn't be living in fear of taxes. And I know ultimately people do what they're going to do, and sometimes you just pay the tax. But I just think all of this is so ridiculous.
It's true. Capital gains tax punishes entrepreneurship. Were the capital gains tax abolished entirely, you know, some of the lost tax would be regained through economic expansion, more efficient and liquid capital markets. Mm-hmm. And so when people say, well, we really need the money, well, it's money you're taking out of the economy, but it's also money you're just gluing into the economy in mm-hmm. places where it's not as efficient.
Right.
And so the lost good to humanity is, I think, in the long run, much greater than the lost tax. The lost good that comes from the tax revenue of what government is spending it on.
So let's talk about the Roth and the 401k and the traditional IRA and conversions.
Yeah, you know, we did an analysis recently. We built a spreadsheet calculator of what a Roth conversion does from now, you know, until you're age 100 and how much it saves. And most people will say that a Roth conversion is a wash if you're always in the same tax bracket. Mm. So if you're in the same tax bracket now and you're in the same tax bracket when you're taking out with an IRA with required minimum distributions, it doesn't matter whether you convert it now or you convert it later. It's actually not true, and a simple thought experiment sort of helps show that. Imagine you have $100,000 in an IRA account, and when you take it out, you're going to have to pay 30% in tax. So you're going to owe $30,000. And imagine you have $30,000 in a taxable account that you can pay it. So you can take your $100,000 in a traditional IRA, convert it to $100,000 in a Roth, and pay $30,000 from your taxable account. Now you've got $100,000, it's all yours, and it's not subject to taxes. So that's going to be our base. Now imagine we just left it in the IRA. We'd leave the $100,000 in the traditional IRA and the $30,000 in the taxable, and we let them both double in value. Now we've got $200,000 in the IRA and $60,000 in the taxable. We sell we take the $200,000 out, we pay 30% in tax, we pay $60,000. But when we go to pay the $60,000, we have to sell it, and we've got $30,000 of capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
And now that $30,000 of capital gains will cost another $4,500 to pay that, and now we're short. We don't have enough money anymore. So simply the growth in the taxable account by going ahead and paying the tax and reducing our taxable account, we have less capital gains. And when you multiply that over a lifetime of growth, it's a huge amount of money. Funding your Roth IRA is just better because you don't have to pay capital gains tax from the tax you paid out of your taxable account.
So let's talk about what might happen if we were to just initiate a zero capital gains tax across the board in America. From your projection, I mean, what would happen to the economy at that point?
Yeah, it's because capital gains does not represent a large part of the tax revenue, I believe that the effect in the federal government would be negligible. Mm-hmm. I don't think they collect enough tax off of all of their rules and compliance to make it all that worthwhile. But what it would do is it would then encourage savings, because when you can save and invest now, the only way we encourage saving and investing now is by having accounts in which you don't have to pay capital gains. Mm. We have the traditional IRA and the Roth IRA, which encourage people to save. And if you look around the country, more people save in their traditional IRA and their Roth IRA than they're willing to save in their taxable accounts. Very few people are willing to save anything in their taxable accounts, which means now they're stuck with the minimums of what they can put into their traditional IRA and their Roth IRA. So it would encourage taxable savings, and taxable savings just makes everyone's life easier. If you have taxable savings, you're more likely to be able to have emergency funds and money you can get to, be able to buy home ownership, to be able to put a down payment, because now you've saved and invested and your investments aren't faced with the headwind of capital gains taxes. So I do believe that it would increase all of that, and it would increase the efficiency of where capital markets can move money. So you wouldn't have money that gets trapped in one particular investment until somebody dies, and then every generation it gets freed up. It's sort of like a 70-year jubilee on capital gains taxes. You live for 70 years, and then you have a jubilee in which you die, and the next generation gets to move the money somewhere more efficient. It's kind of a terrible way to handle the just moving money from one pocket to another. And we wouldn't be taxing inflation, which seems to be a terrible thing to do.
It certainly does. David Morata is online at morataonmoney.com. I hope you'll visit there. He's got a lot of great resources. And David, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope people will be keeping a lot more of their own money after today's conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.